And we know who the students are that, of course, have been affected. We did surveys at the beginning of the school year and kind of solicited information from parents on if they had lost their home or what was their needs. Did they need counseling resources? Did they need mental health? What did they need? And so from that, we have counselors, of course, on campuses. We have school psychologists, things like that. So from there, the counselors have, of course, with consent of parents and things, been working with students and kind of helped touch base with them and see what their needs are. And, you know, sometimes they're upset one day and they just need to kind of talk through it. Or, you know, they might have remembered some toy or something that they lost in the flood or something like that. And they need to just kind of work through that, you know, that anxiety and that being upset. And so, it's just little things like that and just trying to help them.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Jana Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Holly Lambert. Holly is the Director of Student Services and Testing at Ingram ISD, which is in Ingram, Texas. Holly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit. I know you guys are outside of Kerrville. And for those of you that don't know, but most people do, it was national news, the tragedy of Kerrville and the floods that we had. This was just the end of this summer, right?
Yes. July 4th.
It was on July 4th.
I
didn't realize that. Yeah. The 4th of July. Ugh. So I know you guys have been dealing with some of that. So, and it's October. Today is October 16th, so we're 3 months past, but I bet you're not past all of that, are you?
There's still a lot. So there's still a lot of cleanup, a lot of tragedy in the area. So there's still lots of wounds and things and healing that needs to happen. So we're navigating that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though the national news is over, even though the helpers have come and gone, there's still the scars that I've talked to a gentleman who was a superintendent of the fires in Palisades, you know, and just, you know, same thing. Tragedies are there. They don't end just because the news stops. So what kinds of things have you as a district been able to help your students with that? Because I'm sure the tragedy just is monumental.
So, of course, like any year, we always prioritize the student safety. And but this year it was even more of a push because we needed stability for our kids to come back to. And it was so important for that. It was so important to make sure that they had all their needs met. They had supplies. If they had lost their homes, we were trying to help them get resources. Help them just have food, whatever it was needed, clothing, whatever it was, basic needs needed to be met. So it was just really important this year to put basic needs first, because we know that students can't learn if their basic needs are not met. So we wanted to really focus in on that. And also just giving that sense of normalcy and getting back to school, because I think everybody needed that. It was so tragic. I mean, I know that I was looking forward to school. I wanted to see the faces of all the kids and the staff coming back and the excitement of the back to school, you know, time. So it just, I think we all needed that, was to get back to that normalcy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So, so what kind of programs do you have going on right now? Tell us some of what are the success stories? Give us some of that. Let's listen.
So I will say that nobody wants a tragedy to happen, but there's been this like beauty of community coming together and just people rallying around us, and people came from, I mean, districts from all over the state of Texas brought us school supplies. We didn't have, you know, I mean, and they just loaded up trailers, loads of things, you know, food and supplies and all the things. And they just showed up. Nobody called them. Nobody asked them to. They just were here to help. And there's just this beauty that comes out of something that's so tragic, and this unity that happens. And so we've been seeing that. And some neat things, like we had the Spurs basketball team came to our gym and practiced in front of the kids, and, you know, met with some of the local families. They actually took a bus ride out to the city, the town next to me is Hunt, and they had probably the majority of the damage from the flood. And so they took a ride out there to actually see the devastation and to really understand it better and what the needs were. But they have just been here and just they came and just had so much fun with the kids, and it just really lifted spirits, and it was neat. We've had the Houston Texans came and donated some money to help with recovery. We did a wellness fair here where we just brought community resources out, and everybody got a, you know, and it was just overall wellness. It was not just mental health, but it was spiritual wellness. And it was, you know, some of the clinics in town had come out and shared some resources that they had. So we've just had some really fun, really great events to try to give some relief from this tragedy. So,
yeah. Wow. So did you, as a school district, did you lose people in the floods? Were there actual deaths
We did not lose students or staff. Now we do know people in the community that perished in the floods. But yes, we were very blessed. We did have some staff members that had lost their homes. We've had some students that lost their homes and things like that, but we were blessed in that sense, that we were not directly dealing with that. So,
yeah. It's still a tragedy, no matter what, lost a person or a home. It breaks your heart. It just breaks your heart,
it does.
You know, for it. So what comes next for you guys?
So I think for us, we're just, you know, it's taking one step at a time. It's just putting one foot in front of the other. And, we've also just, you know, navigated a lot of change in our district with leadership and things like that. So we're, you know, dealing with some things like that. We were in the middle of, you know, doing buildings and bonds and, you know, because our school is growing, which is a great problem to have. But, you know, it's all these, right, you know, things that you have to navigate as a school district on top of a tragedy. So I think that our goal is just to keep going and just keep excelling. We're an A-rated district. So we want to just keep that student achievement going, but also meeting all the new needs that have come up. So I think that that's important.
So give us a sense of the size of Ingram ISD. Like how big is your school district?
So we have, I think the last check was like 1300, you know, 1370 probably on students. So we're a small district. Not big, very small rural district.
Is everybody in one building or do you have multiple buildings?
We have multiple. We have an elementary, a middle school, and a high school. So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they go pre-K. Do you start at pre-K?
Yes. Pre-K all the way to 12.
The elementary?
Yes.
Yeah.
And elementary, then 6th through 8th. And then 9 through 12. Yes. So
9 through 12. Yeah. Yeah. And so you were in the middle of a bond. The bond passed?
Yes, we have it. We had it passed, but we were in the middle of building and doing all the buildings and stuff. We were adding buildings because we're growing so exponentially. Okay. We have a lot of students that like to transfer from the other districts, our neighboring districts, because of our A rating. We also offer early college classes at the high school. So a lot of our students graduate with associate's degrees, or they'll have welding certifications and things like that. So we're kind of the district to be at. Everybody wants to come. So we're growing, but we've got to keep up with the growing. So
what's happening with those buildings now? I mean, was there damage for the school from the flood as well? Or no?
So we were lucky in that the only building that was damaged was our central office. So it was not buildings that students were in, which is we're thankful for that, because then we were able to just get up and running. So yes, our central office is in a portable building that's on the high school campus right now. So we had to adjust to that, but we were more than happy to adjust as long as the kids were taken care of. So that's kind of been
Yeah. So it has not, it's not just the emotional impact. There's a physical impact as well. And then you've got the physical impact of the kids, and then you're also dealing with the social emotional stuff that comes with you've lost people, you know people who have lost people, and just, yeah, wow.
Yeah, and I
Wow.
think it's been
That's
really
just.
important. I've kind of learned through this that you can't communicate enough. You almost have to over communicate because that kind of helps alleviate everybody's anxieties, to be very transparent and upfront because unknowns are scary. I mean, that can cause a lot of anxiety. So, and with going through this tragedy, it was just really important to. You have to be very upfront with people and let them know what's coming, what's expected. Don't leave, there should be no mystery to that. So,
Let's make sure everybody's on the same page as much as you possibly can get everybody on the same page. Dealing with people's like herding cats sometimes.
It is. It is.
It never ceases to amaze me. You can tell people something five different ways. You know, you email them, you text them, you call them, you do all of these different, and invariably there's a handful of people who are like, wait, what?
It happens.
Not even clue what was going on. It's like, oh my gosh, how did, what else can you do, right? What else can you do at that point? You just, so the bond happened. You were in the middle of building, and that got put on hold because now you have to build a new administrative building. Or how are you guys
So the
navigating all of
administrative
that?
building was not part of that. We were building like other buildings for the kids, but now we've got to build a new central office since it was flooded. So that was not initially, one of those things we had already had a new building previous, we had purchased that building like I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. And so now, but it was like, oh, great. Now we don't have a central office building. We have to factor that in now. We got to figure that out. So we're working on that. So,
And then there's the insurance and all of those pieces of
yeah,
it
it's a
too.
mess and FEMA and all the things you have to navigate.
FEMA.
So,
And I'm sure you guys had flood insurance because if you're in a floodplain, you gotta have it, right? I was talking to a gentleman, the superintendent at Ingleside, a couple of days ago. I did a podcast with him, and he was talking about windstorm. You know, a unique thing for their school. He's 20 minutes from me. I was like, oh my gosh, we're neighbors, right? You guys are not that far. You're like 3 hours away from us. But we live in Corpus Christi, and we have windstorm for our own personal house, and you have to have it. You can't not have it. And because winds and storms are the things that are going to cause the most damage, right? And he was saying their bill, their windstorm bill alone was like $1 million for their school and for their schools. And it's like that is a major hit to your budget. And how do you navigate that? None of that is going to go to schools, but you have to have it, or the kids. None of it's going to the kids. So the same kind of thing, you know, it's like you have to have a central office. You have to have these things. But boy, that upsets the apple cart. And now we're just, you know, it's like, okay, now we got to gather everything back together and figure out what's next. So
It's very true.
yeah. So you're the director of student services. So how, what have you seen for those kids that are most vulnerable, the ones that have special needs that maybe are not even really handling or processing or understanding the implications? How have you guys been handling that?
So we're doing a lot of course, parent communication back and forth. And we know who the students are that, of course, have been affected. We did surveys at the beginning of the school year and kind of solicited information from parents on if they had lost their home or what was their needs. Did they need counseling resources? Did they need mental health? What did they need? And so from that, we have counselors, of course, on campuses. We have school psychologists, things like that. So from there, we've kind of the counselors have, of course, with consent of parents and things, been working with students and kind of helped touch base with them and see what their needs are. And sometimes they're upset one day and they just need to kind of talk through it. Or, they might have remembered some toy or something that they lost in the flood or something like that, and they need to just kind of work through that. you know, that anxiety and that being upset. And so it's just little things like that and just trying to help them. We've also done some trainings and things with our teachers to try to help better equip them to handle the day-to-day little trauma things that could come up. So I think that's been really good. So, and we have frequent meetings with staff and kind of touch base and say, you know, hey, what are you seeing? What is the need? And as an administration, how can we help you? Can we bring, you know, do you need more training? Do you need resources? What do you need? So I think that that's been really good. So.
And the, so we touched on FEMA. Let's go back to that for a minute. Has FEMA been able to, I know they'll support like the loss of property, but is there a piece of that as well that comes in that will help the school? I have no idea. I'm just asking because I'm curious. I don't even know what their role would be in something like this.
And I don't know that I'm the person to speak to that because I've not kind of been in that. I've been more on the student side of it, the student services. Yeah. But yeah, our CFO would be handling that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious because, you know, it's just one of those, it's another one of those things we want. You guys are technically a government institution, but we're not dealing with just government. We're dealing with people, 1,300 students, right? Not including your staff. And having to navigate all of that it sounds like you guys are doing an amazing job, which is so
we're figuring
cool.
out as we go.
I believe that. When you're a CEO and you've never been a CEO before and you become an entrepreneur, I was 50 when I started Lighthouse and I'm 58 now. So we're not quite eight, but we're going to be eight next year. And you just go, you just keep stepping into it, right? You just go, I don't know everything, but I'm going to fake it till I make it and keep going from there. And just, you know, it's just like you have to give yourself some grace. You really do.
Yeah. It might be an ask for forgiveness later situation. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. So it's.
Mm-hmm. You don't. Yeah. And you just, and I honestly think that as long as you go into things with care and love and confidence.
Good intentions. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then. You can't lose, you know, and I'm a Christian. So, you know, I truly believe that God is on our side and I lean a lot on my Savior because otherwise I think I'd lose my mind.
Yes.
But,
and, you got to give a little
people
grace.
Say, well, so. Yeah. Yeah. And people say, well, why did God let this tragedy happen? And he didn't. That's not how it works. But, you know, he is there in the midst of the tragedy and loves us through it all. So
I think it was just a reminder that we could come together as a community and it was to see kindness and show kindness because I've seen a lot of kindness that I think I forgot that, you know, was around. So I think that there, like I said, there's a little bit of beauty in the tragedy. And the healing when as you're healing as a community.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
Yeah, and it's something that stays with you the rest of your life. It'll never be gone. You will know for the rest of your life where I was when I heard about the floods because, I mean, just like, where were you when JFK was shot? You know, those kinds of things. Where were you on 9/11? When it's so personal like that, I lived through in June, I'll tell you the date, June 3rd, 1980. No, the date, never will forget the date. Grand Island, Nebraska, I was 13 years old. We had 7 tornadoes in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And it, same thing. It devastated, like, said, it was massive. It was, and Jimmy Carter was president and he came and declared Grand Island and Nebraska a national disaster. So we were available, you know, FEMA was available, federal funds were available. We didn't lose our house. We had some damage to our house, but we didn't lose, but I had friends that lost their house. We, to credit the early warning systems, even in 1980, there were 5 people that lost their lives in all of those tornadoes. But, you know, when you grow up and you live in tornadoes like that, you know, it's like you hear those sirens, you better be paying attention, you know, and you don't build a house that doesn't, or a community area like all of the mobile home parks always had a storm cellar. You have to have a place to go get underground. Uh-huh. And so it's the same kind of thing. You just are, it's always there. But those beautiful moments stay with you as well. Uh-huh. And that's the part that I think that is incredible. I remember a guy, because we didn't lose our home, we were able to help. You know, we just went out, my parents and my mom especially, we would go food drives, clothing drives. Uh-huh. And I remember this one guy came up and he's like, "I just need a pair of socks. Do you have any socks?" We were like, "Of course, we'll get you some socks." And I mean, this is 45 years ago, right? It's still, I'll never forget the look on his face. "I just need some socks." And we gave him socks. You know?
So our elementary kind of functioned for a while as a donation station, and we were collecting. Oh. And that's what we were doing. So we would have... some of our high school students came and helped. Some of the community came out and helped, but they would load up food and actually just deploy it out to these neighborhoods, because a lot of people couldn't get to us because they didn't have a car. It washed away. They didn't have a house. So we went to them and took the food to them and the items and clothing. But that your story made me think of a gentleman that came in that was just so sweet. And he was very scared and nervous to accept and take the clothing. And I remember his daughter looking at him and saying, "Dad, you just lost your home. It's okay." But just how humble he was and how he still had pride. And but we were able to just get him the clothing and things and give him some sense of, you know, kindness in that moment, and to hopefully help him, you know, get on the track to healing. So,
yeah, makes me emotional.
It's just, yeah, it was. Does. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's something that you just go and you know, when you're in it, and when you're dealing with it, you don't realize how hard it is. And I was thinking about that too when you were talking about dealing with children and all of a sudden they remember a lost toy. Grief does not have an expiration date. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you never know what's going to trigger something or bring something back to your mind. You know, I lost my mother in 06. It's 19 years ago now. She's still my mom, right? She'll always be my mom.
Still miss her.
Still miss her. Still miss her. When I think about her, you know, I just, and there's days, there's, and usually it's an event or an activity or something that will just trigger, oh gosh, how my mom would do. And my kids really, they were so little when she passed away. None of them, my daughter says, "Yeah, I kind of remember grandma, but not." And my dad remarried. And so that was more grandma than my mother. And it's one of those sad things in life where you just go, that was their experience, but they didn't get to know the beauty that was my mother. You know, she was crazy and drove me crazy, but I love my mom and she loved people. And yet it's one of those things where it's like, that's just, and so when something comes up, and she loved Christmas, so it was always like Christmas stuff, you know, but the same kind of thing, it's not gonna be just all done. Okay. Well, it's been a year, get over it. It doesn't work.
It manifests and comes up in just strange ways sometimes. So, yeah, we've been
seeing
that. And
giving the kids the words. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes it's just sitting in silence, or sometimes it's sitting next to them and praying with them. Maybe that's what they need. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, gosh, it's been a tough conversation, but I love what you guys are doing. Holly, you know, is there any way that our community could support you? What kinds of things are you guys still dealing with that you need support?
I think right now, I mean, we've been so blessed with so much. I know there's several flood relief foundations that are in the area that are legitimate. And that's what I would just encourage people, is make sure if you are donating to that, that it's a legitimate, because I know there's things pop up sometimes on Facebook and people take advantage, and that's not a good thing. So make sure it is legitimate. But I believe Kerr County has a flood foundation. And so like I said, again, if that's something that somebody feels called to do, that's good. And that organization is giving out money to different individuals, to places to help rebuild. So, like I said, that's, you know, and it's, some of it's going to the cleanup efforts and things along the river and stuff, because we've lost a lot of beautiful trees. Our landscape's forever changed. So there's going to be, you know, it's going to take years to really recover from all that. So
when we moved here to Corpus, we actually were in Rockport for 6 months before we bought our house in Corpus. And that was, I think, 5 years after Harvey, Hurricane Harvey. And there was still places that had not been rebuilt and not recovered and were just shells because who knows? I don't know. I don't know what the story is. It's looking, I was up there, I think it was like last week or something, and it was, you could tell there had been some project progress in the 2-3 years that we'd been away from Rockport. But at that time, it was just like, wow, you know, that 5 years later and you're still seeing, it's a long time. It's a long time. And sometimes that's just the reality of it. You just are reminded that this tragedy happened and people are still picking up the pieces. And I remember us celebrating when the last FEMA trailer, and that was like, I think that was when that, in, I'm going back to the Grand Island tornado tragedy, but because they literally took a cornfield area and put all these FEMA trailers to house all of these people. And as people moved out of them, they would remove the trailer. And when that one last final trailer was able to be removed, somebody knows how long it was. I don't remember. I was too young, but I know it was years. I know it was years before they were finally all gone. And what a celebration that was to say. And still on Facebook and things happen and people will say, I remember I got a shirt that said, I survived the tornadoes, the Grand Island tornadoes and all of that. But yeah, so, and just, you just continue, you go on and you keep going and you keep loving on people. And so when you said the Kerr County, it's K-E-R-R, right?
Yes. Yes, because Kerrville's the city, next to us, the town next to us. So,
Okay, awesome, awesome. So, where do people come if they want to talk to you or have questions from you or Ingram ISD? Where do they go?
So we do have our website and everything. They could go on there and find contact information for anybody at the school if they had questions. So that's basically probably the easiest way to get in touch with us. And, you know, they can send us emails and things like that. We can contact them. So,
okay. And Ingram is I-N-G-R-A-M.
Yes.
If you don't know, Ingram Independent School District in Ingram, Texas. So Holly, it has been a pleasure, to speak with you. You know, keep going. I'd love to talk to you in the future and, you know, get a update from you for our listeners, and because there is hope, right? Mm-hmm. There is a light.
I just want to say thank you for the prayers I know that have come in. We feel it. So keep praying for the community. We're healing and we're going to just do it, you know, one step at a time. So, and I appreciate you having me on here and be able to share my story. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's my honor to, because, you know, when you talk about Brighter Together podcast, the whole point of it is that we're brighter together and bringing the hard stories and the good stories and the triumphs and the tragedies. I think that's all, it's what makes us human, right? Yeah,
it is.
So, well, God bless you. And I will continue to pray for you guys. And
thank you.
Just thank you for being so transparent with this very difficult situation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.